All right. Well, good morning again. Blessing to be back together here. Let's open to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. Father, I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters who've come together this morning to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that we can sing with truly experience from our own lives behind us of being able to sing, I'm a child of the King. Father, thank you for your adoption of us into your family and making us sons and daughters of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to look at, we'll start in 1 John chapter 2. This is not exactly a continuation of a sermon I did a few months back, but it kind of goes along with it, and I may do a couple others that kind of relate together here in the next few weeks. But in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." A few months back, I preached a sermon titled, "To Know Him is to Love Him." It's so true. If you truly know this God and this Savior, you can't help but have a response of love. If you get a glimpse of His love for you, if you can even get a little grasp, even a little grasp of an understanding of who He is in His righteousness and His holiness, but yet His mercy that would reach down to us who are so filthy and so dirty and make a way for us to be brought into fellowship with Him, and as we sang, to be adopted as His children, even as we saw in Ephesians this morning. You can't help but love a God like that. How could you not love a God like that? Truly, if you don't love Him, it is because you haven't come to know Him yet. If your heart's not overwhelmed with an understanding and a realization and an admiration of Him, it's because you don't know Him. Because if you truly know Him, there's only one response that comes from that, is that you will love Him fervently. But this morning I want to look at another aspect of this. And John here, in this passage that we just read, lays out a case for a slightly different aspect of this, that to know Him is to obey Him. To know Him is to obey Him. Not just that you should obey Him, but that if you truly know Him, you will obey Him, and you do obey Him. Not without ever making mistakes, obviously. He says here that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So it's not that we won't ever sin, but if you know Him, the course of your life, John says, will be that you will obey Him. Let's look at it again. He says in verse 3, "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." So if you want to know if somebody knows Him, or if you want to look in your own heart and say, do I really know Him? Here's a good test. Do you keep his commandments? They go hand in hand, because if you truly know him, John says, you will keep his commandments. He goes on in verse 4, he says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John here is getting quite bold and saying, all right, look, I'm serious here. If you say you know him, but you're not obeying him, you're a liar. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Because if you do actually know him, you will obey him. That's just how it works. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, if we're keeping his word. He that saith he abideth in the light ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. John here isn't mincing words. He's not making it soft and fluffy. He's saying very clearly and very firmly, if you know him, this will be the course of your life. And if this isn't the course of your life of absolute love and obedience to him, then it's proof that you don't really know him. If we look back in the Garden of Eden, we see that the lies of the devil and the lies that Adam and Eve believed and the reason that they sinned and took all of humanity with them was based on the fact that they didn't truly know God. They didn't truly know who was this God or his character of the God who had commanded them not to eat of that tree. So when Satan came, Satan's like, yeah, but, I mean, can you really trust him? You know, that's the implication of what he says is, can you really trust him? I mean, look, I'm just saying, I think it's actually pretty good for you, you know. And I think God's trying to keep you from having something that would be really pleasant and good for you and something you would enjoy having. What were they doing there? What were they doubting there? They were doubting God's character. They were doubting God's character. That was what Satan was doing, was casting light or aspersions on, questioning, well, is he really a good God? Is the essence and the core of what he was saying there. Is he really good? Can you really trust him? Well, they didn't know him close enough and well enough to say, yes, I know. If they had said, yes, I do know him. I know that he's a good God. I know that he loves me. I know that no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. I know that his purposes and his plans for me are good and beneficial, even if it doesn't always feel like it. I know that what he says is for my good. I know that he's right. Well, then they wouldn't have disobeyed. But because they didn't know him, they didn't really know what his character was like. They didn't really know or trust or believe that his motivation was always pure. Satan says, well, actually, he's just trying to keep you from being like him. They doubted his motivation. They doubted whether he was really looking out for him. They doubted whether he had their best interest in mind, whether what he said was actually going to be better for them or not. And they took of that fruit and they disobeyed. But why? Because they didn't really know him. They didn't really know God. John tells us if they had really known him, they would have kept his commandments. If they had known and believed that God loved them. If they had known, I don't think they really comprehended how much care God had taken in making this special garden just for them. I don't think they had any comprehension of how much care he had spoken all of creation into existence. But when it came to them, he had stooped down himself and picked up dirt and molded and formed them from the dirt and breathed into them the breath of life. They didn't realize how special they were to God. They didn't realize that they were His crowning creation. He didn't create the earth with His hands getting down in the mud and going, all right, I'm going to push up a mountain here and splash a little water over there. No, He just spoke that into existence. But when it came to Adam and Eve, He got down in the dirt and made them Himself. He could have, if He wanted to, just said, all right, let a man pop up out of the ground and let a woman pop up out of the ground, and it would have happened. But God put more care into it than that. I don't think Adam and Eve realized or paid attention, just as we often don't. It says that also that God planted this garden for them. The rest of creation He spoke into existence, but this He planted for them specifically, specially. This was designed for them. Now, that kind of a God, if you really know that He's that kind of a God, and He says, hey, don't eat that tree or you will die, you're going to go, okay, if I really know Him, and I really believe Him, and I really know His character, what He's done already, how He showed and displayed Himself already, I'm going to know without a shadow of a doubt that it's not going to be good for me to eat that tree, right? And I'm not going to disobey because I know Him. I know His character. I know who He is and what He's like. And if He says I shouldn't eat that tree, then He's got a pretty good reason for it. I think of a little child who's about to touch a hot stove or keeps on trying to touch a hot stove or any other thing that would be dangerous to him. And his father says, hey, don't touch that, and pulls him back. And a little while later, he's trying to touch it again. And his father says, hey, don't touch that. If that child knew his father well enough to know that everything his father says he should or should not do is going to be the best and most beneficial thing for him, he would never touch that stove. But when he disobeys, sometimes we have to disobey to realize, oh, that's why he said not to touch it. That's why I shouldn't do what he says not to do. Because guess what? He actually knew what he was talking about. It actually was detrimental to me. My finger actually does burn. It actually did hurt. Adam and Eve found out very quickly and very sadly that God actually did know what he was talking about. That God actually was looking out for their best interest when he told them not to eat that tree. But they didn't know him well enough or trust him fully enough to obey him. If they had known him, they would have obeyed him. If they would have known and loved and trusted, fear in and of itself is kind of a poor motivator. Their obedience up until the very moment when they disobeyed was based pretty much entirely on fear of the consequences God said would be theirs if they did it, right? Well, as soon as the perceived good outweighed the perceived consequences, well, then I'm just going to choose what I think is the best course for me, because it's simply weighing the odds. And over here, I've got all these good things that apparently God's holding me back from. And over here, I've got this consequence that Satan says isn't even going to happen to me anyway. So I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to try it out. I think of Ezra, my brother-in-law, talking about when he was little, weighing his options various times when he knew he was about to do something naughty. He knew he would get in trouble, but he's like, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth the spanking because, you know, this is going to be really fun. I think it'll be worth the spanking. If he had actually known well enough the motivations and the character of the one giving the command, he would have realized it was for his own good and his own benefit not to do the things that he was told not to do. they would have obeyed. Our trouble, so many times, comes from not knowing Him. Not really knowing Him. The child who's trying to touch that hot stove is just like us many, many, many times. Sin is that dangerous or harmful thing that we always kind of want to pursue, naturally speaking. It's always kind of pulling and tugging at our heart. And if we really know our Father, we'll know that's not going to be good for me. He's right, and I should follow Him. If we really know Him, we will know that there is reward, great, great reward for obedience, and there is punishment for disobedience. Not just the consequences of that thing itself, but those are pretty strong too most of the time. And then there's also the consequences of disobeying your Father. If the world around us knew Him, they would follow and trust and obey Him. But what's the perspective that the world around us has? Well, he just likes to throw his weight around. He's just big and mean. He's just scary, whatever. Or he's just weak and not that powerful, and you know, we can kind of do what we want. If they actually knew Him, they would obey Him. If they knew the power that He restrains and that He wields, if they knew what He has done for them and how they stand eternally before a holy, righteous, just God who will righteously and justly condemn them to hell if they don't submit and accept His way of salvation. If they knew the good things that you and I experience on a daily basis of walking with Him and how sweet and precious that fellowship is and that relationship is, if they knew those things, if they knew Him, the whole world would follow Him. But they don't know Him, and so they don't obey Him. In Psalm 18, David writes this psalm after he's been chased by Saul and God's delivered him. And he says in verse 44, he says, "As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me." It's interesting. David realizes that the kind of a man who he is following God and the kind of a king that he is, that if those around heard of him and truly heard of him and truly came to know him, they would obey him and follow him. How much more the God of the heavens, the King of creation? Well, we can look back in the preceding verses and we can see how God has displayed himself in David's life. David talks in the first couple of verses about how he's been downtrodden and he's been in trouble and he's been in sorrow, and he says then in verse 7, he says, "Then the earth shook and trembled." This is when God stood to his defense. "The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and shaken because he was wroth." He was angry. "There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him, where dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them." Here David is expressing the power and grandeur and truly the might of Almighty God. If these people had known the kind of a God David served, out of fear, they would have surrendered and submitted to him. Then in verse 25, he says, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou will save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. So if you knew God's character, His judgment, and His righteousness, you would fear Him righteously. And if you knew His character in showing Himself merciful to those who will surrender to Him, in showing Himself tender and compassionate and caring and forgiving, slow to anger, quick to forgive, extending mercy, saving and helping those who are troubled and downtrodden, you would also, that would also be a motivator. It would cause you to want to obey Him. This God whom we serve is such a one that if you truly know Him, there's a whole plethora of reasons why you will serve Him if you come to know Him. And John just says it so simply and so eloquently. If you know Him, you will keep His commandments. That's just the obvious natural outflow from it. Paul says it in a different way. He says that if you understand who He is and what He's done for you, that your life as a living sacrifice, you will realize that's your reasonable service. It only makes sense, right? If you really know Him and you really understand and comprehend and take in who He is, the natural response and outflow to that is obedience. Jeremiah 24, verse 7 says, I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. What's the reason why the Israelites so often strayed away from Him? Because they didn't have a heart to know Him. But God here says, when I give them a heart to know me, they will return unto me with their whole heart. Again, why wouldn't you? If you really know this God, why wouldn't you serve Him gladly and obey Him and return to Him with your whole heart? And God says here that when He gives them a heart to know Him, the natural and obvious outflow of that will be that they will return to Him with their whole heart, and they will be His people, and He will be their God. If they know Him. If they know Him. It's important to pursue this personal relationship with the God of heaven and with Jesus Christ, His Son, who dwells in our hearts, if we're saved. Because if I know Him, I will obey Him. If I am struggling to overcome sin, if I'm struggling to walk uprightly and holy and just and righteous, if I'm struggling to live the Christian life the way that God wants me to live the Christian life, how do I fix that? What's the antidote? How can I get beyond that point? Get to know Him better. Get to know Him better. If you get to know Him better, you will obey Him better. If I'm struggling to follow and to obey, the answer isn't just to try harder. The answer is to get to know Him better. I will obey Him if I know Him. It's just natural, obvious outworking. Cause and effect. If you know Him, the cause, the effect is you will obey Him. So if I'm struggling to obey Him with my whole heart, to follow Him, I need to get to know Him better. I need to get to know Him better. And isn't that our most difficult thing we battle in the Christian life? Is trying to be obedient, trying to battle against this flesh that constantly wants what we're not supposed to want. Constantly wants to walk the way that we're not supposed to walk. How often does my heart start to stray off? What's the antidote? Grab it and pull it back? No, know Him better. Know Him better. Wrap my heart up closer and tighter with Him. In a closer and deeper and dearer love relationship. Because if I truly know Him, I will obey Him. If I want to be able to more heartily and fully obey Him, I must get to know Him better. In John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36, Jesus says to these Jews, He says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, what does it mean to continue in His word? To obey them, to follow them, to continue living them out. Then you will be My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So He says here, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Read on. Verse 33, they answered and said to Him, we're Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They didn't get it. He wasn't talking about a physical freedom. He's talking about spiritual freedom from sin. He's talking about living a holy life. If you know the truth will set you free, free from sin. In verse 36, or in verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from what? Free from sin. He started this section saying, if you know the truth, that's Me, Jesus says, that I am the truth. If you know Me, the truth, it will set you free from sin. Another way of saying the same thing that John said, if you know Him, you will obey Him. Jesus says here, if you know Me, it will set you free from sin. You will be free to follow God. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that word, that simply means like truly, for real, really, truly, all the way to the very bottom of your core of your being, you will truly be free. How? By knowing Him. So it follows then, obviously, that if I am not as free as I want to be spiritually, if I'm still struggling and bound and fighting sin and wickedness in my heart and in my mind, I don't know Him well enough. Because if I know Him, He will set me free. The more I know Him, the freer I will get from sin. And the freer I will be to be a son living and abiding in the house of God forever. He says, a servant abideth not in the house forever. But I'm not making you servants. I'm going to make you free. And if I set you free and adopt you into the family, the Son abideth forever. You'll be free indeed, truly. I want to look at it. John chapter 14, verse 21. He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." So here he's kind of saying it from the opposite side. If you keep my commandments, you will get to know me better. And then we see the reverse side is that if you get to know him better, we will keep his commandments. So here he says, "If he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." If God is manifesting himself to you, if Jesus Christ is manifesting himself to you, what does that mean? I'm getting to know him better. He's revealing himself to me. I'm getting to know him better. So both directions, if I keep his commandments and I follow and obey, I will through that. And him indwelling and abiding in me, I will learn to know him better. He will manifest himself to me. And the more he manifests himself to me, the more the response to that is that I will obey him. It works both directions. So not just that if you come to know him, you will obey him, but if you obey him, you will come to know him. So literally, the two are one. To know him is, put an equal sign there, to know him is to obey him. Many times in our Christian life, we struggle and struggle and struggle with sins that so easily beset us and overcome us and drag us down. And we work and we work and we work. And our solution is always, well, I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps even harder because I want to live the way God wants me to live. I want to obey his commands, but I'm just going to have to try harder because I failed again. And Jesus and John and the tenor of the whole scripture says, what you're missing is not trying harder, but knowing him better. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would impress your word on each of our hearts. Lord, that we would, with Paul, cry out, that I may know him. That I may know him. Lord, truly that our desire and our thirst and our longing would be that we would know our Savior and our God better and more deeply. And Father, that would be brought to fruition and worked out in our lives, Lord, that as we get to know you better, as you said, we will be made free from sin. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst after Jesus Christ. In your precious name I pray. Amen.